Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has Rome. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it! Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown! Touchdown! That's five for Chris Brown.
The defensive Tomlinson.
Welcome into the DMVR Buffs podcast, presented by the American Raptors. I'm Henry Chisholm, and this is Friday now. Bit of a jump in your time. This three podcast a week thing is, it's interesting. But there will be another one up. I think that will be tomorrow and not Sunday, but I'm not making any promises yet. Whew, it's been a busy couple days. Yesterday, went out to that golf tournament I was talking about earlier in the week. Got a chance to talk with Carl. Got a chance to talk with Rick George. I guess I went to the media roundtable. I felt like it wasn't my place to ask questions anymore because a lot of those people are like writing about it, doing those sorts of things. So I was like, yeah, if you guys want to ask questions, feel free to ask questions. But I did listen in. I talked with Carl for a minute or two. Apparently he'd heard that I was going to the Broncos beat, and so we talked about that a bit. And he was happy for me. He really good guy. I guess there isn't much you take away here other than just a good dude. Good football coach. In terms of like coaching up receivers, that sort of thing, definitely. In terms of being a head coach, time will tell. But good dude for sure. So that was yesterday. What else happened? There was the putting green, no, mini golf outing with the DNVR last night. We're going to the Rockies game. I think my girlfriend's meeting me here in 40 minutes or so, so about when this podcast is over. So I'm like refreshing Tick Pick over and over and over again, waiting for something good. Because the Rockies have some decent options. Like when you try to buy tickets to a Nuggets game or an Avalanche game, like you almost never go to their website because the deals aren't nearly as good. But with the Rockies, like they usually don't sell out, especially when the Pittsburgh Pirates are in town. So I just wait and wait and hope somebody's going to panic and make something cheap and then pounce on it. But if that doesn't work, there's always good options from the Rockies. So now we're caught up. Anything else? Not really. Been subbing on bets, been doing the Broncos podcast, started writing about the Broncos, wrote a little bit about Jabari, not all that much. Jabari had a great game yesterday. I mean, actually not even that great of a game. Not as good as his other games. I guess we haven't talked about it, but he has a new contract too. Sounds like it's 3 years, about $4.75 million. First 2 years are guaranteed. That third year is not guaranteed. they probably structure it so that the payments go up, his salary improves over time. I think it's probably safe to say that, I mean, minimum he's going to be taking home $2.5 million, probably $3 million, and if he can stay on the team for that third year where this contract is not guaranteed, he's going to be making close to $5 million. So any thought of him betting on himself and failing, it's tough to say somebody fails and they've got that kind of money coming in. I know, like, when we talk about athletes, there's just like a totally different scale of things, right? Where it's like, oh, well, who knows? Maybe he would have been a first-round draft pick and made $5 million a year if he'd waited a year. But when you make a decision, and because of that decision, you want getting the kind of money that he's making. Not a great game yesterday. 9 points, 9 rebounds, was fairly efficient, whatever, but not up to his numbers. He did have an insane pass. It's like, I think it was he takes like a couple steps, kind of like fake Euro, draws both defenders, throws it behind his head to somebody for the dunk. It makes you think, like, oh, I wish you would have done that CU more. But we learned some things. So it is how it is. So there's Jabari. I've got only a couple of notes out first. And then we're going to hit these Pac-12 South win totals. We did the Pac-12 North a couple days ago. Now, like I said, we're going to look through the South and see where there is money to be made. And also, I mean, just see what the internet, what Vegas thinks of what they think of the Pac-12 South. So there we go. In terms of Rick George and Carl Durrell, there were only a couple things that really stood. You could imagine what it all sounded like. With Carl, it's a lot of, yeah, summer's going well. Really impressed with the freshmen. It was nice that we were able to spend all the time recruiting these guys, really get to know them. It wasn't all virtual. Because of that, we wound up getting a bunch of guys who fit the culture, who understand what the demands are when they show up. And so those guys have been working really hard, and that aspect of things has stood out. So they look like they're in much better shape than they were a year ago, the whole team, not just the recruits, the freshmen. So that was kind of the general vibe. From there, the real noteworthy things, I mean, really only one hard piece of news, and that was that JT Shrout is fully healthy and 100%. He's out there, he's doing the thing, and he's good to go. You know, no setbacks. This was kind of anticipated because that's what they had told us. But the timeline was correct. Good things are happening. He did also say that he has a new team rule, and that team rule is that quarterbacks now have to wear a brace on their front leg. So if you're a right-handed quarterback, left knee, you got a brace on it. Left-handed quarterback, your right knee, got a brace on it. He was inspired by what had happened with our guy JT. So those are the real big pieces of news there. When talking about the quarterback competition, though, he said something interesting. So, you know, if let's just say somebody asked me, and somebody said, you're Carl Durrell, and I'm going to ask you this question, how do you think he would answer? And somebody asked me, so is Brendan Lewis, does he have a leg up in the quarterback competition? Say, nope, totally open competition. All these guys are out there battling. It's nobody's job. They've got to go earn it. That would be my expectation from Carl Durrell. That's not what he said, though. He said, Brendan was our starter last year, and he got a bunch of good reps. He was a starter on this football team, and because of that, somebody's going to take that job from him. And that was kind of the vibe of the response. They didn't say, like, this is Brendan's job. It's going to be tough to beat him out. Nothing like that, but he did say, you know, that's a... He's sitting in number one right now, and if somebody can unseat him, they go unseat him. I don't know JT Shrout all that well. You know, I've talked with him a few times, but he is a little bit fiery. I feel like if you beat him in Monopoly, you might wind up with like a bottle flying at your head, something like that, you know. Pretty intense in that sort of way. Very competitive, not afraid to talk. Real talker out there. And Brendan, from what I've heard, has turned into more of a talker out on the practice field as well. But because that's JT's personality, if you're trying to fire him up, get the most out of him, that might be what was on Carl's mind. Or really, it is Brendan. And he also said that Brendan has started to kind of realize, you know, what it takes to be a good football player. I think he mentioned that other players have noticed that as well, or not noticed it, but have kind of followed that lead. But, you know, you don't just show up and be good at football. You have to spend the hours in the film room. You have to work on your technique. You got to be in the weight room. You got to be in the playbook, all that sort of stuff. And he said that that's probably the biggest development he's seen recently, is just that he's approaching it more professionally. Which is an interesting comment, right? Because that means he wasn't max professional before. Which, and again, if he's starting games as a 19-year-old quarterback, the expectations only be so high, right? Here in 70 and not 20 hours or whatever. But, you know, it's not, you got to learn. And it's not even how much time to put in, meaning how to put him in, right? You know, studying the playbook so you know it for later on. And I think that bringing in the new guys, you know, and all them, that would be helpful in learning how to be that sort of guy, right? You know, have those sorts of leaders in those locker rooms. Tommy Brown, who's he been watching play quarterback? Mac Jones, Tua Tagovailoa was before him, Jalen Hurts before him. I'm pretty sure Tommy was on there for that. Those are NFL quarterbacks now. Those are NFL quarterbacks. And just because you're an NFL quarterback now doesn't mean NFL quarterback in the past. But, you know, they did something right. They definitely did something right. So that's where I'm at right now with all that. And it's good news for sure. It's good news for sure. Especially when Brendan struggled last year. Like, well, who knows? Maybe it's a good thing that he struggled at some point, right? Or wasn't maximizing his time at some point. Just because something was going wrong, right? I don't think anybody was expecting to hear, yes, you know, everything was going perfectly. Although we'd have heard that before. Maybe not perfect. You know, he looks like a different guy in practice. In practice, he's going through his reads. He's throwing the ball the right guy. He's hitting all of his throws. And then in the game, like, something's off. And that was kind of the theme in the middle of the season, getting him to translate practice onto the playing field. So there are some of those sorts of things. But from Carl, those were kind of the big notes. In terms of the Pac-12 stuff, obviously, that's more Rick George's alley. Carl said, you know, we've talked about with the team. We talk about all sorts of things with the team. You know, when there's a shooting at a school, we talk about with the team. When there's whatever's going on in the world, we want to talk to it. Just be in touch. You know, we're not football players only here. You know, it's about developing 19-year-olds, and there's a lot of levels in that. So that's kind of the vibe there. And he said, in terms of like him in particular, I guess I should say this, he's not really paying much attention, or at least he's not thinking about it much. He's probably paying attention, probably reading the news, but he's not thinking about it much. He's not trying to come up with plans, because that's not his job, because they've got games to play in the very near future. We're only a couple months out, and I'm excited. I get to go sit in Folsom as a fan. I've never gotten to do that before, so I'm fired up. In terms of Rick George, I bet you could guess what the theme of that conversation was. It was all just Pac-12 conference NCAA stuff. Didn't really get into the NIL stuff. I think at one point he did say, like, you know, it's not good. It's not good the way it is. It's not good committee to come up with the rules and regulations, so things didn't get out of hand like they did. And then the NCAA just threw all of our proposals out the window the week before everything kicked in. But again, that most of it was about realignment and USC and UCLA and all of that. Some notes. I mean, first of all, my favorite part was when he said, like, let me be clear. We did not lose a team that's participated in a CFP playoff game. That's a shot. It's a shot. And it didn't feel like something that was just kind of like spur of the moment. Oh, it just slipped out. It felt like something it's good to say things like that, right? I think that it's easy in the moment to say like, ah, oh, you can't be throwing shades. Those are good schools. You're in trouble. All those sorts of things. But college football is about things like that. You know, you hope that that's something Riley pins up on his bulletin board or Chip Kelly pins up and tells his team about when they go play, whatever. Because first of all, it's just like good for college football to have rivalries like that, to have people trash talking, to do those sorts of things. You know, that's what you remember. You know, if you go out there and beat USC and the week of the USC game, Lincoln Riley's bringing that stuff up, that's the part that gets remembered for 20 years. You know, that's 20 years from now when people say, yeah, first time they beat USC in the offseason, they had done this and Rick had said that, and then the coach got all fired up about it and blah, blah, blah. I understand that the odds of them beating USC are slim. Like, you look at the just like the Vegas expectations, or look at the recent history, or just like the overall history of being, what, 0-15 against USC now? But I don't know. You also don't want to just say like, oh no, we're going to lose, so we probably shouldn't say anything. Like, you can't tuck your tail at this point, right? Like, you might as well try to fire people up, because if it doesn't work, you're getting fired, you know? And maybe not Rick George necessarily. I'm not sure where he stands. And athletic directors are tough to gauge. I think it's easy to say, like, how successful are the teams and how much money do you have? But there's a lot more that goes into it. When you have one that's on all of the committees and all of that sort of stuff, and because of that, Colorado gets more power just because they have their voice in the room that's designing the NIL rules, for example. You know, that's good to have, and that's tough to kind of calculate, you know? But it's like, yeah, you're on the hot seat probably. I think the CBS Sports, I think it's Dennis Dodd who puts them out every year, but there's maybe six levels of hot seat, and he goes through every coach. I think there's 16 coaches on a hotter seat than Carl Durrell. Now, Carl's on the same tier as like 20 others, so where exactly is he? Who knows? But if you're going to go out, bring in attention, firing guys up, being a part of the story, right? And sportsmanship, yeah, whatever. But what is remembered about college football? It's about the rivalries. It's about this sort of thing. So I'm all here for it, is the point of all this. And the kind of bonus kicker at the end is, if Colorado wants to, say, move to the Big 12, for example, it doesn't hurt to be able to say, hey, look, what I said was on the front page of the college football Reddit yesterday, or whatever talk show was talking about. The Reddit thing happened. I'm not sure what the talk shows picked up on or what stories were written or whatever. But being interesting media-wise, being a team that people follow, that people know of, that people are interested in tuning into, that has to do with doing things like this. And you don't want to just be grabbing attention all the time. But there is a strategy to all of that for sure. And I'm not sure if that was the intent, but in that regard, it definitely doesn't hurt, right? And Colorado grabbing national headlines is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. So that was the spiciest moment, though, when he said, you know, they didn't go to the CFP. And it'd be more fun if Colorado had, right? Then it's a little bit more of a flex, but it is what it is. Colorado can't do that, so you do what you do, and hope you can build to that point at some point. So that was the big one. In terms of the other stuff, not all that much going on. I thought you had some interesting comments about essentially, his point was that right now they're trying to keep everybody together in the Pac-12 because Colorado on its own doesn't have all that much power. You know, Arizona on its own doesn't have all that much power. But when you're able to pool together the 10 of you and work together, there is power in that. And that is absolutely true. It is dangerous, though, because there's a good chance that when we look back on this kind of 10-team version of the Pac-12 now, the end result is that there were, what, eight people who were trying to work together to hold everybody together, and two people who were pretending to and snuck away and were able to get good deals out of it because they were able to get good deals out of it, you know? So what you don't want to be is the good guy who is just trying to keep everybody together to keep the power and build off of that instead of selling out. There's value in it, and if you're able to do it, then there's real value in it. But it's a dangerous game, right? Again, when you talk about Rick George, I don't know where he stands in those rooms. You know, when there's 10 athletic directors, who's leading the discussion? You would expect Rick to be toward the top of the list. Is he number one? Is he number four? Who knows? It's tough to say from the outside. But the reputation is that he would be involved. And so taking that stance, I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. You also, I mean, you can't trust what anybody in that room is saying. You also can't trust what Rick George is saying, to be honest. Like, everybody has a whole bunch of irons in different fires trying to do what's best for their school. And that's true of Rick George as well. So while he did say that, a massive grain of salt, this whole salt shaker, or like the, is it in Utah maybe that you have like the massive salt land where, I guess you have Salt Lake, but it feels like there's just like a big salt. It's all just salt. It looks like a desert, but it's salt. I don't know. But it's that kind of salt with any of this. Let's see. What else did we have? He did say he hasn't talked to the athletic directors at USC or UCLA. Maybe a little bit interesting. Not a huge surprise, probably. Yeah, I don't think that there was much else. I mean, that was the vibe. There was interesting talking about the media deal. First of all, he does think the payments are going to go way up with the new media deal, but he actually dug into the details in an interesting way. You know the big parts, right? Like, it's a 12-year deal, and because of that, over the 12 years, the rest of the market just grows and grows and grows, and Colorado isn't, or Pac-12 isn't able to negotiate the new deal, which would put them in, you know, the that level of money. He added some more specific stuff, though, that I was interested in. And basically what he said was, you know, our tier one rights are more valuable than they were before. But our tier two rights are where we're really being underpaid because they're all just going to the Pac-12 network and we're not getting much money from the Pac-12 network. So when the time comes and we actually get real income, there's this depth of the product that is not reflected in what we're making now. Because if we were just to sell those alone, and he didn't put a number on it, but it wouldn't be crazy to say that each school would get another $10 million a year out of the media deal just from tier two and tier three rights. And that could be lowballing it too, because tier two is, you know, Arizona, Colorado. You know, that's tier two for sure. Washington State, Oregon State is a tier two, right? And those are mostly just going to the Pac-12 network where you say, this isn't getting us any money. So I thought that that point in particular stood out. But outside of that, I mean, I guess he also said that people thought it'd move quickly, but that's really not how it's going to work. There's no rush. We talked about that a little bit earlier this week, so we don't need to dig in there because that's kind of what we expected as well. Okay. I think that's it for that. After the break, we'll be running through Pac-12 South win totals, including your Colorado Buffaloes. I'm interested. I'm interested to dig through these. I think nothing would really surprise me, and that makes this kind of a fun thing to do. Real quick, though, DraftKings Sportsbook is my favorite. Like I said, going to the Rockies game tonight, put together a little parlay. Hopefully it's going to hit. There's a lot of things I think are going to happen in there. And if it does, then I think it was like 12-1 odds tonight. Again, it's keeps you interested, right? Which can sometimes be hard with these guys. But that's not the point. The point is, whether you want to bet on golf, whether you want to bet on whatever, you really can't go wrong with DraftKings Sportsbook. It is the king of sports betting. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Also, Breckenridge Brewery. They have the Avalanche at Coors Field. And because of that, I will be drinking the Avalanche at Coors Field tonight. It's a great beer if you guys haven't tried it. Very simple beer, not all that much to it. And because of that, it's perfect for baseball. You can drink one of them or two of them or three of them, or, you know, you can keep counting for yourself. It's the best. It is the best. And that's about all I have to say. You can go to breckbrew.com, use the beer locator on their website. It'll tell you exactly where to go to pick up whatever beer you want to try. Like I said, you can't go wrong. Vanilla Porter, Strawberry Sky, all good stuff. So get on over there. And also, Sexy Pizza. Sexy Pizza, they're awesome as well. If you haven't been to Sexy Pizza before, you should definitely check it out. There's a lot that maybe you want to know beforehand. Things, for example, like the green chili pizza is a pizza that I like. Or they have the Philanthropies, which mean that a nonprofit from the area has put together their own pizza, and if you order it, they get a portion of the proceeds. There's a bunch of cool stuff like that. There's vegan options, gluten-free options, all the pizza stuff that you could expect from any pizza place. And again, can't go wrong. Four locations in Denver, one now in Trinidad, Colorado. So go get your hands on some Sexy Pizza. All right. Into these win totals, which I am pretty excited about. We're going to do the same thing as we did a couple days ago. Basically, just start alphabetically. No, that means Colorado's first. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about Colorado's win total this season. So DraftKings Sportsbook has the Buffs at three wins. So you can bet the over, the under three wins. Let's run through the schedule. So, Buffs start the season. They play TCU in the season opener in Boulder. Yeah, just looking at this today, got to call it a loss, right? I think they're a seven-point underdog, so it's not like it's a definite loss by any means. But, like I said, as we sit here today, you lean win, you lean loss. You got to lean loss there if you're being honest with yourself. Then you go to Air Force the next week. Again, that's one where Air Force is going to be favored. So you probably take Air Force in that game. Got Minnesota on the road the next week. Again, you're not going to be favored in any of these three games. You might not be favored in any game all season. Unless, again, if you go in and you beat TCU, you beat Minnesota, you're 2-1, well, yeah, you're going to be favored when you play Arizona a couple weeks later. But as it stands today, not favored in these games. So that puts us in a tough place when we talk about the win total, I guess. I'll say this. I think when you look through here, it's about finding the winnable games, right? So all three of those non-conference games, I think, are winnable. I think most likely, I'm not sure if winning one or zero is more likely. It's probably 50-50. You go to UCLA, you expect that to be a loss. Arizona, I think, should be a win. Arizona State, I think, should be a win. I think Cal's a battle. Oregon State, you probably, on paper, aren't good enough. Like, it's just so tough because I know that they underperformed last year. Like, they're capable of so much more, but all you can really work off of is what they've shown you, right? And so when you say, are they going to beat this team? Again, it is what it is. I'm taking the over on three wins, though, just because I think there's enough of a chance that they're going to be better than people understand, better than they expect, right? Because even if it's three, it's a push. So what you're saying is four more likely than two? And I do think that four is more likely than two. I just think that there's a bunch of winnable games, even week one. Just go get a jump on them at home. Seems like it should be possible. It's just so hard to predict this team right now. So when it comes to over under three games, give me the over. I'm in on the over. But I will say, this isn't my favorite bet of all of the bets we're going to be talking about. So that was Colorado. If we're going alphabetically, USC, UCLA, Utah. Oh, Arizona. Those are alphabetical. Damn. Well, we're going back to the top here with Arizona. Their win totals also set at 3. Looking through their schedule, again, it's similar to Colorado, except I don't see quite as much upside with Arizona. And because of that, I'm a little bit more nervous about taking the over. You know, we have San Diego State. You have North Dakota State, Mississippi State. I think that's a tougher non-conference schedule than the CU has, which is wild because CU has two Power 5 teams and they've got an FCS team and one non-Power 5, one G5 team in there. From there, though, you know, Colorado, that one's a toss-up. And odds are whoever wins that one's the one who's going to go over, right? But you got Oregon and USC and UCLA and Utah and Washington. Like, it's going to be tough. Arizona State could be their kind of saving grace there. But looking at it, again, I think the real answer is you stay away because I don't think I'd take the under on 3. You're just asking for trouble there. Although, when's the last time they won more than 3 games? It's been a few years. So if anything, you take the under. Again, though, with these low numbers, I'm probably just staying away. Arizona State, you look at, they start with Northern Arizona, Oklahoma State, Eastern Michigan. Honestly, they probably should win Eastern Michigan and Northern Arizona, but this is a team that, especially like for this season, is going to be very prone to way underperforming versus expectations. So from there, you go to, I guess you're home against Utah. That's a loss. USC's a loss. Washington's a loss. Stanford, I think, is a loss. Colorado, again, I think I have Arizona State on the same page, that same level as Colorado and Arizona. And just looking through, again, are there winnable games? Yeah, there's definitely winnable games. But when you ask yourself, are they going over 6.5 wins? That's a really easy no for me. So I'm taking the under there. What do we have left? UCLA, Utah, and USC. There we go. Sorry. UCLA would be the alphabetical next up. Line set at 8.5. I guess last time we were going through the schedule before looking at the win line. Also, UCLA is another one where if you Google UCLA schedule, it's like 10 results of academic stuff before you get to the football schedule. I guess they start Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama. That's 3-0. Colorado, that's probably 4-0. Washington, that's a battle to me. We'll say 4-1. Utah, 4-2. Oregon, 4-3. Stanford, we'll go 5-3 because we gave the loss to Washington. 6-3 for Arizona State. 7-3 Arizona. 8-3 with Cal. But I think USC has to be a loss. So you're right up on that number. 8.5. We lean under, but not by all that much at all. Next up, USC. Rice is a win. Stanford's a win. Fresno's a win. Oregon State is a win. 5 wins with Arizona State. 6 for Washington State. You lose to Utah. 6-1. Arizona, 7-1. Cal, 8-1. Colorado, 9-1. UCLA, 10-1. Notre Dame, 10-2. And I think their line is set at 9.5, if I remember right. 9.5, except, any one of those games in a vacuum, you pick them to win. But I do think that they blow at least one more, and I don't think they win those tough games, those two tough games. So I know I gave them 10 wins. I take the under here, especially at plus 105. And then wrapping things up, we've got Utah. And Utah, I have a feeling I'm going to go over, but let me double check by going through the schedule. Florida, that's a toss-up. We'll say loss there, but give them the benefit of the doubt later. Southern Utah's a win. San Diego State's a win. Arizona State's a win. Oregon State's a win. UCLA, win. USC, win. So now you're sitting there at 6-1, 7-1 with Washington State, 8-1 with Arizona, 9-1 with Stanford, 10-1 with Colorado. Oregon, they could win or lose. That, along with the Florida game and the USC game, probably decide whether that's a college football playoff team. Win line is set at 9. So I'll take the over 9 because I love that you get the push at 9 on top of the potential to win 10. So there we go. That'll do it for today. I'll be back at some point this weekend with another podcast, and I will see you then.